Good day, beloved. My name is Vilio. It's a privilege for me to be here to share in the Word, specifically in the book of Acts, as we continue with our days of encouragement. And if you've been following the last night, we focused on Acts chapter 15, where Helene shared with us, and that was about the Jerusalem Council and how there were different disputes in the body, in the church at that time, and how there had to be a meeting to iron some of these things out. And Peter and James and Paul and some of the other disciples were there discussing this issue of circumcision, as well as what are the requirements in order to be a Christian. Does one have to follow Jewish practices, or is believing in Jesus enough? Or do we have to go back to, refraining from certain things and doing certain things, such as being circumcised and keeping Jewish practices and holidays and all these things? And the conclusion was that they were required not to do to keep anything more than abstaining from food offered to idols, from staying away from things of the blood, of issues of the blood, and as well as sexual immorality. Now, that's where we pick it up. And at the end of chapter 15, we saw Paul and Barnabas have a bit of a dispute in terms of taking John Mark, who was a disciple, we understand in scripture, on their missionary journey to revisit the churches that they had received visited. So we pick it up in Acts chapter 16, where the Apostle Paul actually circumcises Timothy. You'd see in the first couple of verses. And again, this is not to contradict everything that happened in the previous chapter. It is just to state that sometimes in certain situations, it's profitable to do a certain thing that God's kingdom may come, seeing that Timothy was Greek and Jew. And his father was Greek, his mother was Jewish. And in order to minister to the Jewish people and to have been acceptable to them, he had to be circumcised. He had to be like them to a certain extent. I'd like to pick it up for us in chapter 16 and from verse 25. And this is the same chapter, of course, where we see the famous Macedonian call, where Paul and Barnabas are, trusting the Lord to lead them, to direct them, to go and share the gospel in different cities. And the Holy Spirit prevents them from actually ministering to certain cities and shows them a vision of a Macedonian man who calls them to come and help them. And long story short, they go to Macedonia, they go to Philippi, and they speak to a lady called Lydia, who's from Thyatira. You know of Thyatira in the book of Revelations. In chapter 3, it speaks about Thyatira as being one of the churches. She accepts the Lord, and thereafter they cast a demon out of a girl who was bringing much profit to her owners. She was actually a slave. She was a bit of a fortune teller and had a spirit of divination. And so they get arrested consequently because the masters of this girl have lost profit. So that's where we pick up the story in verse 25. So if you have your Bibles on your phone or there physically, please follow with us. We'll speak more about what was actually going on as we read the verses. Verse 25. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. So it's important whenever we read but to think what happened before that, because but seems contrary to one's expectations or contrary to the narrative as it went. This event took place. Previously, in the previous verse, we see that Paul and Silas were beaten with rods and they were stripped naked of their clothes and then beaten and thrown into prison. So contrary to the expectation that when one is in prison and one is beaten, when one is out in the dumps, they were actually worshiping, they were actually singing. And how amazing is that? We don't know what the times that we're living in, how they would look maybe in the future. Perhaps you are currently going through challenges and it feels you've been stripped of everything that you know. Maybe it's relationally. Maybe it's expectations that you had, that you set out, and they were maybe not fulfilled. But even in that situation, we can still praise the Lord. It's just the same way that Paul and Silas praised the Lord in this. I don't know what was going through their mind. They were told by the Lord to go to Macedonia. They wanted to go out somewhere else, but they were told and they followed. They were just doing what God had commanded, but they found themselves in a Philippian jail. Verse 26. Suddenly, this is now as they're in the jail, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. Just imagine, yo. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. Because imagine, he probably thought, it's over now. This is it. I've lost the prisoners. There's been an earthquake. No one's going to believe me. They're going to think this was a prison break situation. What happened to the prisoners? How did this earthquake come about? He was at his wit's end. He was at the point of thinking there's no more hope. Probably going to be charged and suffer great consequences before court because of this. And then in verse 28, and this is just so amazing. It says, there's another but Paul, it's contrary to expectation, called with a loud voice saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. And so often we look at the miracle in this story as being the earthquake and the Lord's divine intervention in that sense. And that definitely is a miracle. But what I also want to highlight is the meekness and the gentleness, the humility in Paul to even intervene at that moment when the person who was holding him captive literally was about to take his life. He did not look at it as a moment to avenge himself or avenge whatever the people had done to him and thrown him into prison by, let the man kill himself. But he said, whoa, don't kill yourself. And that is amazing. And that comes from the Holy Spirit. Those are one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit. And in verse 29, it says the following, then he called for a light, he being the prison warden, ran in and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And that's the million-dollar question. That is the question that's in the heart of every man, every woman, and every child. What must I do to be saved? What must I do to be saved by the trouble in this world? From the trouble in this world? What must I do to run from the hurt and the brokenness and the questions of this life that I can't answer? What must I do to be saved by them? Maybe you have children and you wonder, how can I raise them in such a world? How can I save them from being polluted by this world and all the filth that's in the world? And maybe even closer to home, what can I do to be saved from the evil that's in my own heart? And that's what this jailer was asking, because he realized, man, there's something different about these people. There's something different about these two men who are singing and who haven't even allowed me to take my own life. And in our lives, do the people know that there's something different about us? Do they hunger? Do they come and ask us these questions that, what must I actually do to be saved? Let's stand, let's put our faith out for that. In friends, in family. And the following verse answers this question. It says, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Now, if someone told you in order to be saved, you had to fast for 40 days, you had to climb a mountain, go and get snow on top of the mountain, it's been snowing recently, you would say, that makes sense. But if the instruction was only to believe, just to believe, it seems so simple. And it is. If we believe, and consequently there will be fruit of our faith of believing. And that's what happened in this jailer's life. So that is the encouragement today. Remember from what we have been saved and to what we have been saved to. Because they knew the God that sent them, they knew the Lord that directed them, they knew the author of their salvation, they were able to still be in the prison, naked, beaten, bleeding, and still to worship, and still to pray, and still to hold on to the fruit of the Spirit. Take time tonight, over the next week, to remember, who is the Lord? What has He saved me from? And let us be grateful for that salvation. Let us pray. Father, we exalt you. We give you praise. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we can be encouraged in reading your word. God, that though afflictions may abound, though tribulation knocks at the door, we know that you are the God who saved us, who called us, and who is still with us even now. Even if we find ourselves in prison, Lord, you are with us. And we just say that you are enough, Lord. And come and encourage us, come comfort us through your Holy Spirit, that we might be bold in light of the affliction of this world. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. May the Lord bless you, and yes, let us remember the author of our salvation.